today as we come to the table.
And as we examine this prayer, we're going to see that there's a pattern of this prayer that really follows in many ways the same pattern that Jesus gave us in what we call the Lord's Prayer. And that is, we begin to acknowledge who God is, who He is. That is, God, you're holy, I'm not. You're great, I'm not. You know, Lord, I need to repent. I need to ask forgiveness. I'll trust in you. I'm going to remember your promises. We're going to see all these things lined out in Daniel's prayer. And again, this will be the key for us today. For personal revival. Are you looking today for personal revival? Because it's got to start there. It's got to start with me. It's got to start with you. We confess, we get revived, and then it's going to spread to others.
Have you ever wanted to change a process at work? Maybe you just wanted to change the way your family does dinner time. If you tell others what you want to change and then continue to do it the original way, you won't see much change. Many times you have to just do the change and others will begin to follow. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Many times people in the church will pray and ask for a revival in the church as a whole. Well, today Pastor Mark explains if you want to see revival in the church, you must first start with a personal revival. Once you confess and become revived, others will see and the revival will spread. The bottom line is you should be an example for others. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Let's open our Bibles up to Daniel, chapter 9, and let's pray and ask God to open His Word to us. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Daniel, chapter 9, and how You moved in Daniel's heart when he saw that Your promises were coming true and You were about to send revival to the nation. And Lord, how appropriate that is for us today. God, we're living in a time where revival's in the air. And Lord, we desire to see revival in our nation. We desire to see revival here at Calvary Chapel. But God, before that can happen, there has to be personal, individual revival as well. And so as we look at these steps, Lord, and these things that You took Daniel through to be praying for, God, I pray You would do that here, Lord. Take us through these things, God. Bring us to a place where You can pour revival out on us here at Calvary Chapel and again, nationwide, God. And so again, open Your Word to us. Be our teacher. We're excited about what You're going to show us today, Lord. And we look forward to You again ministering by Your Spirit. And God, if You should choose to pour it out right now, Lord, pour out Your Spirit on Your people. We receive by faith and enjoy. And we thank You, Lord, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, again, as you guys know, there's a lot of talk in the air about revival, and I'm very hopeful that's what's going on. It would appear. We see what's happening in Asbury and now other campuses and even overseas now. We're hearing rumors about revival spreading. And if there's anything the church needs worldwide, it's revival. And again, I know that we want to be a part of that revival. And so, again, as we look at today's passage, it is very, very timely for where we are because, again, the entire first part of chapter 9 is what leads to revival. These are the steps of revival. And so again, Daniel is going to find himself looking at this situation where God has promised to send revival, and then Daniel's going to be praying for God to do that. You know, it's interesting. The Bible tells us that the closer we get to the return of the Lord, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Okay, I know that's not the best news to hear, but that's simply what the Bible says. But here's what the Bible doesn't say. It doesn't say that God can't pour out His Spirit afresh and anew and His church be on fire during that time as well. And so what we need to be praying for is God to pour out His Spirit and us to be filled with His joy and filled with that hope. It's interesting, the Bible says the Lord's coming back for a purified bride. What better way to purify the bride than send revival right before you come to sweep them off their feet in the rapture of the church? Praise the Lord. So who knows what God's going to do? I am very encouraged either way. I'm extremely encouraged because we know the hope that we have in the Lord. And again, we're going to see today in Daniel's prayer that he's facing the same thing. Now, again, we'll see it's in the first year of Darius. This is about the 67th year of the 70 years of captivity. And remember, God said that He would send them into 70 years of captivity because for 490 years, they disobeyed God on their Sabbath years. And what that means is they were supposed to take off every seventh year and not do anything and just trust God and what he supplied, but they didn't do it. And so God said, all right, you owe me 70. He used Babylon to take them into Babylon for 70 years. And Daniel, knowing the word of God, believing the word of God, and we'll get into more detail as to how much he believed it in just a moment, he recognized it's about 3 years until this is completed. And now he begins to cry out to God and say, God, I want to be ready. We need to be ready as a nation. We have not truly repented, but we need to get our hearts right before you finish your promise and pour out your spirit, or you're not going to pour out your spirit on us. Now, God will always complete his promises. But again, having his spirit poured out on the nation was something different. That took personal revival in their lives and national revival as a nation. And the same thing is true for us here today. We have to have personal revival first, and then we'll have national revival. And by the way, just you guys know this, I think there's a misconception. Revival, biblical revival, can only happen in the church. Now think about that. Why? What revival means is it means a reawakening of something that used to be there. You see, if we know the Lord and we've fallen away from the Lord, we can be revived. The world has never been vived at all, right? So revival is for the church, but here's the way it works. God sends revival as his church, as you and I confess our sin, and as we repent of our sin, God sends refreshment from heaven, his spirit, he sends revival to the church, and then the church bleeds out into the world where a spirit of evangelism takes over and people get saved. And it's worked that way all throughout church history. God revives the church, it spreads to the world around them, and you see nations that come to the Lord, and God does a great work. That's why I'm excited about what I see God doing now, not just in America, but it would appear maybe some indications of things that are happening overseas. And if you think America's bad, they're worse overseas than we are. It's even deader over there. Now, much of the church in America is alive, I know that. But there's much of the church in America that's dead, and the majority of the church in Europe is dead, and so they need revival greatly. Again, God said this would be a 70-year judgment he brought on them. Jeremiah 25:11 says, "And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon for 70 years." And so Daniel, again, realizing that this is about to come to an end, he himself not having any real hope of going back. He's a very old man by this time. But I love Daniel's heart because Daniel was praying for the next generation. What he was saying was, God, there needs to be revival in the next generation. How we need to be praying not only for us, but guys, look at the generation younger than us. They're a mess right now. Look, we're a mess. But look at the generation under us. They are a mess. There are so many drugs coming over the border. Our children are dying from fentanyl poisoning all over the country by the thousands. I don't think many of us realize how bad it is until you start doing some homework. We're seeing, again, just rampant sexual immorality again and all these things that are happening. The drunkenness, the drugs. Listen, don't take me wrong when I say this, but this is the perfect environment for revival. And that is, it's not that I'm glad all these things are happening, but historically, when a nation or a people group gets so fallen away from God that there's really no hope without God, people begin to cry out to God, and God sends revival. We are ripe for revival. And I believe if it happens, you're going to see God rescuing this next generation and rescuing our generation and a great work of the Lord in the last day. So I'm very encouraged, and I think you should be encouraged as well. Now, we'll see, this is where Daniel is, exactly where I believe we are as a world, where we are as a nation. And as we examine this prayer, we're going to see that there's a pattern of this prayer that really follows in many ways the same pattern that Jesus gave us in what we call the Lord's Prayer. And that is, you begin to acknowledge who God is, who he is. That is, God, you're holy, I'm not. You're great, I'm not. You know, Lord, I need to repent. I need to ask forgiveness. I'll trust in you. I'm going to remember your promises. We're going to see all these things lined out in Daniel's prayer. And again, this will be the key for us today for personal revival. Are you looking today for personal revival? Because it's got to start there. It's got to start with me. It's got to start with you. We confess, we get revived, and then it's going to spread to others. And Daniel now realizes, hey, our nation's a mess. I see the promises of God. We're coming close to the 70 years finishing where God's going to keep his word. And now we see Daniel again begins to cry out to God in that way. So that asking God to do what he said he'll do, which of course God will. But it's interesting to see Daniel's need to fill his part. Notice what it says in chapter 9, verse 1. It says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. This verse is loaded. First of all, notice this. If we're going to see personal revival or national revival continue and to spread, we have to, first of all, see the need for prayer. See, oftentimes prayer is one of the hardest things to get the believer to do because there's spiritual opposition to prayer. And so we resist prayer. You know, if you tell people, hey, we're going to have a church, you know, potluck or whatever, it's packed. Hey, we're having a church, you know, prayer meeting. You see, it's not as many people show up. And the reason is because it takes battle to go through prayer. And oftentimes we kind of shy away from prayer, but we have to become people of prayer. And Daniel recognized, number one, he needed to be a man of prayer. But what was it that made Daniel a man of prayer? Notice it says, while he was reading the books. Guys, here's the key, okay, to being a person of prayer, leading to revival. We have to be people of the books. That is the Word of God. You say, what books was Daniel reading? Well, Daniel could have read his own book. He was, you know, he was writing for God. He could have listened to his own tapes and could have gotten ministered to because God was speaking the Word of God through Daniel. But there was also Ezekiel, who was living and prophesying during the days of Daniel in Babylon himself. And then, of course, Jeremiah, who was prophesying in Jerusalem, and Jeremiah is the one that prophesied they would be there for 70 years. So Daniel is reading the Word of God. He sees as he reads the Word of God the need to pray for God to intervene and God to fulfill what he promised to do and what their responsibility was in that. And Daniel, as we know, was a man of prayer. He spent a lot of time in God's Word, and because of that, he knew God's Word, and he was a person of God's Word. And the question for us this morning is, are you a man or a woman of God's Word? Because it's not enough just to come to church on Sunday and hear the Word of God or come on Wednesday. You need to be a person of the Word of God yourself. You know, I was reminded now, having two grandkids, watching them eat and watching them be fed. Now, of course, the one is so young, still just nursing, but watching my one that's a little bit older and go through that process of feeding them, it's really cute. I mean, at first you give them the food, you have the spoon, you're doing that, and then they want to do it, right? They grab it and they want to do it, and that's wonderful. And you kind of laugh and, you know, they get stuff all over them or whatever. Of course, I still do that today, but either way, they do that as well, so we can share in that. And you look at that and you go, that's really cute and that's really sweet. But if I came back 20 years from now and my little granddaughter was still, you know, needing help to eat and spilling things all over herself, it would be tragic. And yet how many believers are like that today? How many believers don't even know how to eat their own spiritual meals? They're waiting on the pastor to take the spoon and put it in and clean the sides up around the mouth and say, isn't that cute? God's saying, look, pick up your own fork, get your own knife. Open the Word of God and let me speak to you. Let me teach you. Let me grow you and do it daily. You know, it's interesting. The Bible says you do not have to follow God daily in order to be saved. He said this, you simply believe in Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross. You give your life to him. And the Bible says, if you believe that and repent of your sins, you will be saved. It's the authority of the Word of God. However, he gives a requirement for disciples. He said, if you're going to be my disciple, you must take up your cross daily and follow. And the question for us today is, are we simply saved or are we disciples? Now, you might say, I'm okay just being saved. Well, that's where you are. I'm not. I want to be a disciple. And I know that many of you want to be disciples as well. And if you don't learn to eat the Word of God yourself daily in the Word, you are not a disciple of Christ. You're saved, but you're not a disciple. And so we have to ask ourselves, am I a man of the Word? Am I a woman of the Word? Because that's what's going to lead us to becoming men and women of prayer. Now, the next thing notice here is we have to be people who believe the Word. This is amazing to me. Notice it says he saw by the books what was specified, that the 70-year judgment was about to take place. That is, he clearly not only understood the Word, he believed it. God said it, I believe it. Daniel wasn't one of those that said, well, man wrote it. Man wrote it, so probably it's corrupted. No, he said, God wrote this because I see the authorship of God's hand in it. I see the authority of Jeremiah. I see the authority of Ezekiel. He saw the Word of God speaking through him. He knew that it was God's Word. Listen, the Bible was written by over 40 different authors, over 1,600 years, over multiple continents, and every bit of it agrees without any contradiction or error. Let's see you get five people on any one subject in the world today, even in the same town, to do that, and see if they can write it without any contradictions or problems. It's impossible. This is supernatural. Daniel believed it. Daniel knew it. And that's why God was able to speak to Daniel in dreams and visions. The question is, do you believe it's supernatural? Do you believe man wrote it or do you believe God wrote it? And do you believe God wrote all of it or just the parts that you like? And you don't believe parts of it because those parts you don't like. And they don't go with what's happening in our culture today. God wrote it all. And Daniel knew that. And Daniel said, God, you specified it's going to be 70 years. But the next thing I want you to note about Daniel is Daniel believed the Word of God literally. Daniel didn't say, well, 70 years means really if you do this and multiply it times that and then do that and subtract it and run it through a sifter and squint and turn your eye, then probably the Lord's coming back on that day. He didn't do that. He said, a day is a day, a year is a year. It literally says it's going to be 70 years, and I believe the word of God literally. And guys, you're going to find this. There's not one prophet in the Bible that did not take and believe and teach God's word literally. As a matter of fact, you will find no place that Jesus did not teach the word of God literally. Mark, what do you mean literally? Aren't there these visions of dragons? And Jesus said he's the door. Is he a piece of wood with a doorknob? No, here's the thing. There are symbols used in the Bible, but every single symbol has a literal meaning. And you will find the literal meaning. The dragon always represents Satan. The woman with the 12 stars over her head in Revelation in the sky. Genesis, that tells us that's the nation of Israel and the 12 tribes of Israel. These symbols all have very literal meanings. And so understand, if you don't take the Bible of God literally, you're going to get off course where some of these people doing all their weird calculations and prophecies and all the stuff they do. And by the way, I know you want me to speed up. By the way, yeah, I know. If I don't take the word of God literally and I tell you what it really means, who becomes the authority at that moment? Am I the authority? Or is this the authority? We must take the word of God for what it says. Daniel knew that. He said, these are prophets of God. He said it would be 70 years, and that means it will be 70 years, by the way, to the day, and we know that it was. Interestingly enough, when we get into the last half of Daniel chapter 9, this prophecy is going to be so accurate. Daniel, God is going to show Daniel the exact day that Jesus Christ is going to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey, and we now can look back historically and verify that that is the exact day that he rode in. He gives us the number of days, and we're going to see that it's verified. That's the power of the Word of God. And this is what Daniel knew. We must believe the word of God. We must believe it literally and stay on target, not go astray, as many people have gone astray over the years. And so again, next you're going to notice here again that he knew again that, and I want to say this, he knew that God wrote it. He knew that men wrote it down, but I want to make this point. He knew that men were simply the pens. Men were the instrument that God used to write his word, but it was God that wrote the word. Now, there's something here that very intriguing to me about this, and this is where I think that we need to be challenged, and that is even though God had clearly said he would bring them back after 70 years, Daniel still prayed anyway. Isn't that interesting? What's my point in this? Here's the point that I believe God is making. That is, although God is sovereign and his will be done, we are still expected to do our part to be about our Father's business until the Lord returns. For example, although we know the Bible says, as we noted earlier, that things are going to get worse and worse, what does that mean? We just sit back and watch and not take action? No, it means that we are actively fighting for righteousness in prayer, in making a stand, in speaking the truth, in crying out to God. We are constantly doing that until the Lord comes and takes us out of here. So regardless of whether we say, oh, no need to do anything, the end times process, we shouldn't be involved, don't make a stand for God, we can't stop, we can't change anything. Listen, I do believe that our prayers have a great impact and it connects us to God. You know, prayer is not so that we can change God. Prayer is so we can get changed ourselves and get in tune with God. But it's through that prayer we understand God's will and we know how to pray and we know where our place is to be used. Because God's will take place. The question is, are you going to get to be a part of it or not? Isn't it fun being a part of the work of God? It is a privilege. It is an honor. If God says anything to your hearts today, it has zero to do with me other than I'm a mouth and a body that God could speak through to your heart by his word today. Zero to do with me. And if you make yourself available, God will say, all right, there's another mouth. I'll use that mouth. I'll use that heart. I'll use those hands. I'll use those feet. Make yourself available. Daniel knew that. He said, God, you're going to do it, but I want to be a part of it. I want to be right in the middle of it. And so, Lord, I'm going to cry out to you. And Daniel begins now, even again, 3 years in advance. And again, I think the reason 3 years in advance, part of the reason is, as Daniel knew, as we're going to see as we go on, the nation was not repenting. They were not responding. And Daniel wanted to pray that the nation would be ready so that God could fulfill his word the way that God wanted to do it, with the nation prepared. And kind of like John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus, I think Daniel's crying out here through prayer, helping to prepare the way for God to pour out his spirit on the nation again. And notice what it says. Verse 3 says, then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Now notice, he set his face toward God and did these three things. These are keys to revival. Not just being in the word of God and prayer, but this is a part of that, part of prayer. Notice this, the first one is prayer, supplications. That just means crying out to God. supplicating, letting God know your heart, hearing the heart of God, spending that time speaking to the Lord and reiterating His word and pouring your heart out before Him. Next is fasting. Again, we all know what fasting is. Most of us don't like it. But again, it's denying our flesh. And here's the thing. Note this. Fasting is not so that we can get our way with God. All right? You think about the kids. I think about kids, you know, maybe your kid did this. I think some kids do. Not all kids do it. But they want something really bad. You're not going to give it to them. So they decide to hold their breath until you do. Right? They're going to take you hostage. All right? And I'm going to hold my breath and die if you don't give me that candy bar or whatever. And you see them begin to wobble, you know, and this kind of thing. And they're turning blue. I remember seeing a video like that a while back. It cracked me up. Listen, when we fast, we're not like holding our breath before God saying, God, you have to do what I want. What's happening is the idea of fasting is so that our flesh is denied. The things that we like in this world are being denied. The foods we like, whatever the case might be. And as we deny those things, our spirit is built up because we pray more. We're weakening the flesh and we're strengthening the spirit. Daniel was doing this. He said, I know I need to fast. I need to be in tune with the things of God. And lastly, sackcloth and ashes, that is basically humbling himself, which we're going to see Daniel do throughout this prayer. Daniel recognized him, you're God in heaven and I'm not. Again, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is hallowed. Holy be your name. And we're going to see he makes the difference of God's holiness and who he is as a man, and he humbles himself, and sackcloth and ashes was the way they would do that, as uncomfortable clothing, if you will, and ashes all over you was very humbling and humiliating again. And so you see Daniel doing all these things that he said to see God move. And notice here verse 4, he says, and I prayed to the Lord my God, and I made confession, and I said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. Now notice the next thing that he did in these steps of personal revival, he made confession to God. Guys, this is key. If we don't make confession to God, then we're not going to see revival in our life because we're not recognizing that God is holy and we're not. That we are the sinners. God is righteous in all things that he does. And as we go through this, we're going to see that Daniel doesn't blame God for any of this. Daniel recognizes this is our fault. We have sinned. Now look, I know humans are humans and emotions are emotions. And maybe and probably some of us in this room have at some point gotten mad at God in our life. But I want to challenge you with something to get your mind rethinking because it might even be keeping you from confessing your sin and holding you back from personal revival. The Bible says that God is completely holy, that God is completely righteous, that God has never done wrong, that God is completely without sin, that he's all loving, all merciful, the only goodness, there's no darkness in him whatsoever. If that is true, and we believe as Christians it is there ever a righteous reason to be mad at God? That's challenging because some of us have been there. You know why? You're human. And God knows that. And God is merciful. And God forgives that. But if we've been there, we need to go to God. We need to say, God, you know what? There was never a reason for me to be mad at you because it's impossible for you to ever do anything wrong. You're holy. You're righteous. The problem is with me, and I'm understanding it now. I confess to you, Lord, and I ask you to forgive me of that. Listen, that might be holding somebody back. We've got to be humble before God.
You've just heard another broadcast of Come to the Table. Whether today is your first time joining us or not, we're delighted you did. We want to give all of our listeners the opportunity to learn more about Jesus, and Come to the Table is the vehicle to do just that. So we just want to say thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching of Daniel by Pastor Mark. Maybe you've heard the story about Daniel in the lion's den or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These stories, like so many others, are found in this Old Testament book. It's also chock full of God's faithfulness. Did you know Pastor Mark teaches on much more than just the book of Daniel? For other messages, just go to our website, thewaymedia.net, and click on Come to the Table tab at the top of the page. From there, you should see links for our podcast available on Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitch. While you're there, feel free to shoot us any questions or comments you have about Jesus or this radio ministry. We'd like nothing more than to talk with you. For a more personal contact, we welcome a call from you. Our number is 865-609-1385. That number again is 865-609-1385. Do you live in the Knoxville, Tennessee area? Do you have a church you call home? You're welcome to join one of our services. We have several services each weekend and also a midweek service every Wednesday night. We'd love to meet you as we gather for a time of fellowship. We'll be back with you soon on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.